I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. It wasn't that long ago that then-Secretary of State Madeleine Albright called America the indispensable nation. It was a way to describe America's impact, presumably its beneficial impact, on the rest of the world. But troubles in the U.S. can also spread. For example, America's financial crisis now has proved contagious. Our credit crunch, our housing slump, bank failures, and stock market meltdown are echoing around the world. John Authors is the global investment editor for the Financial Times in New York. So, John, today the Dow was up. European stocks were basically up and down, bouncing back and forth. Asian stocks fell. It's hard to find a cause and effect pattern. But to what extent does the behavior of the American stock market impact the behavior of stocks overseas?
Well, if you look at this over a slightly longer period for the whole of the last year or so during which the crisis has been going on, then you can see a reasonably clear cause and effect. And while the stock market is important, obviously, I think the real driver here is more in the mortgage market, the money markets, and the credit markets, because that's been the driver of the problems that we've seen. And then equity markets have been sort of passive victims of the trouble for credit.
Okay, well, let's take each of those individually then. When we have a housing crunch in the United States, why is it that, say, a homeowner in Bulgaria might have trouble getting a mortgage?
Okay, the problem you have here is that the mortgages that get into trouble here no longer belong only to people in the US. You had the phenomenon of securitization, whereby mortgages were packaged and resold on the market, and they looked very attractive, particularly subprime mortgages, because they appeared to be virtually as safe as a government bond but pay you more interest. So a lot of normally quite conservative big institutional investors and banks bought this stuff, and a lot of those were in fact in Europe. On the ground of foreclosures, maybe a US problem, but the problem of who is ultimately going to lose money out of American borrowers foreclosing is a fully internationalized problem.
So then where does the contagion end? I mean, you said it's universal, but mostly in Europe. Who was protected from it, specifically regarding the housing crunch?
With respect to the housing crunch, it's primarily Europe. The Japanese banks, broadly speaking, weren't so heavily affected, and the big emerging markets similarly were not so heavily affected, although you certainly saw a lot of big emerging market central banks buying bonds issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
All right, give me another example of why, when banks close here, banks close or are bought up in Britain and elsewhere.
All the banks, again, this is down to the globalization of finance, they're all intimately linked. The global financing system in many ways depends on the network of short-term loans between banks. When you begin to lose that confidence that any given institution will repay a loan, that causes the international banking system to seize up. That is why it appears to be so necessary to do something to restore that confidence. I mean, the other thing one should mention is that there are other countries, particularly my home country of Britain, where they did actually manage to nurture their own version of the same problem. I mean, Britain has probably been the second worst affected country in terms of bank closures or nationalizations, and that was in large part because Britain also had a fairly extreme housing bubble.
So who else is insulated right now from our banking crisis?
Who is insulated? Virtually nobody. The dollar is still the reserve currency. The financial system works on the assumption that banks will operate and that treasury bonds are the safest investments out there. At the moment, if you were a country that benefited from globalization when things were good, almost by definition, this is creating pain now.
One of the things that happened yesterday that seemed to shake the financial systems and the rest of the globe was the fact that we had this political breakdown here in America, where the president, leaders of Congress are up against the popular will. How much does this cause a crisis in confidence abroad? I mean, is the inability of America's leaders, not only the president, but also leaders in Congress, to respond promptly and effectively causing ripple effects in confidence overseas too?
Yes, quite plainly. I think that what was important about it was that it was unexpected. Once a deal has been hammered out, even if it's as contentious as it is, if it's been hammered out and it's been presented to Congress, you assume it's going to pass. This demonstrated that the leaders weren't in control. There's was very scary and was part of what we saw on Monday. Part of the bounce back we've seen on Tuesday is that that initial shock is wearing off and different calculations are now coming into play as to whether the American political system will come up with something to shore up that confidence.
All right. Thank you very much, John Authors in New York. Thanks.
Thank you.
John Authors is the global investment editor for the Financial Times.